I'm Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and I am excited about today. I have been praying that we're going to have fun in church. Anybody ready to have some fun in church? You're about ready to have some fun in church, okay? We're going to, no matter what. I've also been praying this. I've been praying that we will experience the power and the presence of Jesus. And I believe that that opportunity is going to be for you today. That he's going to engage you. And I'm praying that we are going to experience the power and presence of Jesus. Man, we're in the middle of a series that we're calling The Genius of Jesus. Where we're talking about the words of Jesus. That his words are powerful. His words are life-changing. His words are genius. And we're covering the words of Jesus and how he is truly a genius. When I think about a genius, I think about a genius as this, as somebody who is an expert in some area. But more than that, they're like an expert of experts. Like that's what I think about as a genius, is somebody who is an expert of experts in a certain area. So let me tell you this. When I think about geniuses, I can tell you this, complete truth, I married a genius. I absolutely married a genius. My wife is a genius. And here's how marrying my wife changed my life. See, when I was growing up, man, my mom, I love my mom. My mom is like dear to my soul. I love my mom. I want to honor my mom. But I have to be truthful about my mother as well. Here's the truth about my mom. She did not necessarily know her way around a kitchen, okay? Like, that's what it was growing up for me. She did not know her way around a kitchen very well. In fact, one of my favorite stories about my mom is she burned soup. Did you even know that was possible to burn soup? It is possible. She burned soup. We got home and then the pot was just like charred up and Dad just took it and right in the trash can. Like, what are you going to do, man? It's like full of burned soup. You burn soup. But my wife, oh my goodness, I'll tell you what, man, this is what it was when I got married. This is what we said after we got back from our honeymoon. I got back in, we were in our first apartment, and my wife says this to me. She says, and I quote, "Get out of my kitchen." Yes, ma'am. All right. Yeah, I'll get out of your kitchen. Because what I will tell you is that my wife can cook, man. I can tell you, my wife is a genius when it comes to the kitchen. And to this day, when she is cooking, I stay out of there. In fact, I'll tell you this. In our house, I do all of the dishes in our house. And here's the reason why. I told her, I said, "You keep cooking the way that you do, and I will do every dish until the day that I die." Because it is amazing. My wife is a genius in my house. This is what it looks like in my house. Like one of the favorite things that she makes. Oh, man, I love this so much. One of the favorite things she makes is a little thing that we call Brenner. Anybody familiar with Brenner? Right? Brenner, that's what I'm talking about right there. Man, we're brothers right there on that. Here's what Brenner is. Breakfast for dinner. Brenner. We love Brenner in our house. Myself, my two boys, we love Brenner. Some of y'all don't understand that. You're like, what's the big deal about Brenner? Because Brenner for you is just a bowl of cereal and maybe a banana if you're going crazy. That's not what it's like in my house. This is what it's like in my house when my wife says, "Hey," I'll say, "Hey, what are we having for dinner?" And she'll say, "Oh, we're having Brenner." Oh, man, it's a good day in the Nibbling house because this is what it looks like. Most of the time she's making breakfast burritos. Build your own burrito. And so she warms up the tortillas, and then she scrambled eggs that are sitting there, and then she's got the sausage made up, and she's got the bacon, and the bacon is fantastic because I've been going into the kitchen as she's making it and snatching a little piece for myself. Because that, I want to tell you something, that's the job of a husband, to be able to snatch some of the food. Because here's what I believe. I believe that it is my job to protect my children, to make sure they're not getting anything bad. I've got to be able to test it out beforehand, right? Come on, man, that's what I'm talking about. She's got the bacon that's in there. And then she's got sauteed green peppers and onions that you're going to be able to put on top of it. Oh, man, then she's got the cheese that just melts all over the top of everything else. It is fantastic. Man, that breakfast burrito, ooh, it'll just melt in your mouth. And then to be able to top it all off, she does a little thing that's called monkey bread. Oh, anybody familiar with monkey bread? Monkey bread, the little pull-apart cake that's covered. Each little spot, little bite is covered with sugar and cinnamon, and it is caramelized into this gooey heaven is what it is. Anybody getting hungry in here? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Turn to somebody and say, "What's for lunch?" What's for lunch? Turn to somebody and say, "What's for lunch?" Come on, somebody. Hey, here's what we're going to do. I know that I was going to make you hungry, so here's what we're going to do is we're going to give you a little bit of a snack to tide you over until lunchtime. Ushers, you want to be able to go ahead and pass out the little snacks that we have for you. We got some fruit snacks for you guys up in here. We want to make sure that you're going to be well awake and ready for God's message for you today. Melissa's excited. She came in just in time for some fruit snacks. Come on, somebody. Hey, here's what I want you to do. As they're passing out these fruit snacks, I want you to do this for me. Do me this favor. I want you to be able to turn to somebody. No. Turn to three people and point at them, and I want you to give them the title of today's message. Don't just give it to them. Give it to them with authority. Say it with authority. I want you to point to three people and say this: feed the beast. Go ahead. Feed the beast, everybody. I'll tell you what, we're going to have some fun in church today. I knew that we were. You better get excited. Come on, church. This might be our smaller of the two services, 11:15, but I tell you what, you slept in, so you should be awake. Anybody awake in here? Yeah, anybody need some? Anybody ready to make some noise up in church today? Come on, I hope that you are. Here's what I tell you. You know me. I'm going to come. I'm going to bring it. I got some energy. Everybody knows I got some energy. In fact, one of the guys was giving me a hard time, the drummer that we had up here today. Man, you killed it today, buddy. You were fantastic. Loved every single step of it. And he was giving me a hard time. He's like, did they give you some caffeine? And I actually had to say, no, they won't allow me to have caffeine anymore. Like, I get too excited about things. But here's what I will tell you, is that it allows me, if I hear some feedback from you, it feeds me. And it'll feed me if I get some feedback and be able to hear an amen, hear a come on somebody, be able to say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. Give me some response, and we might be smaller in number, but man, we're going to be louder in our voice. Anybody ready for that? Yeah, there. Okay, we got a couple of you over here. We're going to be able to have some fun in church. This is going to be fantastic. We're going to be talking about how we feed our souls today. Feed the beast. It's going to be an important message for you. We're going to dive right into the words of Jesus and how he's going to speak into us. Last week, we talked about an opportunity that he gave three individuals, three of his disciples. Today, we're going to talk about an opportunity that he is going to give one individual in Scripture. But I believe he's going to give every single one of us an opportunity today as well. Go ahead and jump into John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptized, but his disciples. Jesus empowered his disciples. Somebody say empowered in here today. Jesus empowered his disciples, and he will empower you today if you are willing to walk by the Spirit. So he left Judea and went back home, went back once more to Galilee. Continue on. Now he had to go through Samaria. What's important about Samaria? So the region of the country that he was in, he was traveling from Judea and going to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Why is that important? Because at this time, Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other. They said, you know what? We're going to cut off from each other. You're not going to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to you. And I'm going to take my ball and go home, right? Like, that's how it was. That's how they dealt with each other. Even though they had a shared history. They had a shared history. They came from the exact same place. They had the same ancestors. But something happened. When we read through 1 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, we can see that the nation of Israel separates. It separates into the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom is Judea. And the northern kingdom is the northern kingdom of Israel. And they begin to separate. In the northern kingdom of Israel, they begin to intermarry with other cultures and other nations, which was strictly forbidden by the Jewish culture and tradition at that time. Not only were they intermarrying with other nations, but they also began to worship on a separate mountain. They said, you know what, we no longer acknowledge Mount Zion in Jerusalem as where God's temple needs to be. We believe that it's going to be in this place. And at that moment, that's when the Jews said, you know what, we're done. We don't want to follow what you guys are doing anymore. And so they cut off all communication. What does that look like for us today? What does it look like for us today that we would cut off all communication? Maybe for some of us it would be like, you know what, you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat. I don't want to have anything to do with you. We live in a very separated society today, much like what we see at this time. Maybe for some of us it says, you know what, you're a cat person and I'm a dog person. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Can I get an amen on that one right there? You know, like, I'm a dog person. That's the truth on that one. Maybe for some of us, it might be like, you know what? You like hip hop. I like country. I don't have anything in common with you. I'm going to separate myself from you. Maybe for some of us in our culture today, it says, you know what? You're a Christian and I'm a Muslim. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And we can sit here and we see separation that happens in our culture today the exact same way that we see right here. And Jesus is passing through a place where culture says you should not associate with anybody that is there. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well, and it was noon. Why is noon important? Why is it significant? Well, because individuals at that time, when they would go to the well, they would go get water for the day, for the entire day, which means that they needed water from morning until night. So they would typically go get water when? In the morning. And they would also do it when it was cooler outside instead of noon, when it starts to get a little bit hot. We live in Phoenix, Arizona. We know what it's like at noon at times, right? So they would go in the morning. There's also a place where they got to congregate, where they got to share and fellowship and talk about what was going on, right? Like, it was like the water cooler. It's the well. It's the water cooler at that time. You would only go at noon if you were isolated. If you were isolated and you were shut off from culture, there was something about you that they said, we don't want you around anymore. So when Jesus goes there at noon to be able to rest, there shouldn't be anybody else there. So he goes to Samaria, and he's sitting at a well where there should be nobody. Continue on. And when a Samaritan woman came to the well. A Samaritan woman came to the well at noon where there should be nobody there. A woman that definitely Jesus shouldn't have any kind of contact with. A woman that something's going on in her life that she is ostracized by the rest of society. And when the woman came to the well, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And Jesus engages this woman. Jesus begins to engage this woman. And we see an opportunity given. Now, something about this that's interesting to me is that we don't know a whole lot about the Samaritan woman. We know a little bit about her past and her history, but we don't know her name at all. And it feels a little bit weird to me to, like, be able to say Samaritan woman every single time. Like, woman, like, that's just a little bit weird to me. So we're a little bit friendly and laid back here at Focus 314. So instead of saying Samaritan woman every single time, I'm going to call her Samantha. You see it? You see how I did that there? Samaritan, Samantha. You know what? We might be even a little bit laid back. We might call her Sam because we're really good friends around here, all right? Like, so we don't know what her name is, but we're just going to be able to call her Samantha. Samantha is coming to the well at noon because there's something going on in her life where she has been cut off from society. She's a Samaritan woman. Jesus should have no contact with this individual for a couple of reasons. Number one, being that she's Samaritan. We just talked about that. Jews and Samaritans at that time had no contact with each other. They didn't talk to each other at all. Second, she is a woman. Samantha's a woman. And at that time, in that culture, men did not have public conversations with a woman. It didn't happen that way. If I was going to have a conversation with Melissa, I would go to Jake. And I'd be like, Jake, hey, you need to talk to Melissa about this. Because that's what was appropriate at that time. There was no one-on-one conversation that was happening. But Jesus engages the Samaritan woman. See, here's the great thing about Jesus. Is that Jesus isn't worried about being politically correct. Jesus isn't worried about what society is trying to tell him. Jesus isn't worried about culture. Jesus is worried about an individual. Jesus is worried about Samantha. And I can tell you this, Jesus is worried about you. Jesus is going to give an opportunity to Samantha. He's engaging her, and he's going to give an opportunity to you today. He is engaging you today. Will you give me a drink? And this is how she responds. The Samaritan woman, Samantha, said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Again, we just said it shouldn't happen. This shouldn't be a conversation. But Jesus cares about her. He cares about you. And this is how he responds. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Somebody say, gift of God. What is the gift of God he's talking about? And the gift of God is him, is Jesus. The gift of God. Here's the great thing about a gift. This is what I love about gifts. Gifts are free, right? Gifts don't cost you anything. And the gift of God is a free gift with no strings attached. The free gift of grace, of mercy, of love, of freedom. That is the gift of God. Man, if she would have known what was the opportunity in front of her, the freedom that she was getting ready to have, she would have said, oh, hey, I want it all. Give me all that you got. Living water. Living water. Well, what in the world is that, right? And so this is how she responds. Sir, the woman said. I love that response. Sir. Like she's very respectful. But she's going to be like, you're a little bit crazy at the same time. Like, sir, you have nothing to draw with and this well is deep. Sir, I love that. Like that reminds me of living in Texas where if somebody, you realize that they were a little bit crazy, but you wanted to be nice about it, this is what you said. Bless your heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, bless your heart. See, you just said, you're a little bit crazy right now, but you did it in such a very nice way. Like this woman is sitting there saying, bless your heart, you don't even have a bucket. Bless your heart, you don't even have a rope, and that well is pretty deep. What are you going to do? You're going to dive right in? You know? And then she says, she continues on, where are you going to get this living water from? Bless your heart, you can't do this at all. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Like, who do you think that you are? You think you're better than the ancestors that we both share? You think you're better than Jacob? I know you heard about Jacob. You know, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who do you think that you are? Who gave us this well and drank it from it himself and did also with his sons? I know you've heard about the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Like Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream coat. I know you heard about him before. Who do you think that you are? What is this living water that you're talking about? Here's the thing that's so important, is that there's a lot of questions that she has here. She has a lot of questions. I don't understand what you're talking about. What is this a gift of God? What is this living water that you're talking about? I don't understand. Because what Samantha was doing is that she was looking at what was right in front of her. She was looking at what was tangible. But how many of you know that life is more than what you can just see with your own eyes? There's so much more to life than what is tangible and what you can feel in front of you. And you think to yourself, well, what do you mean by that? How can that be? Well, let me say this. Have you ever seen the wind? You've seen the effects of the wind. You've seen how things move by the wind, but you've never seen the wind. And I can tell you this. You've seen the effects of God in your life. You might not be able to acknowledge what it is, but you have seen the effects of God in your life. There is so much more to this world than what your eyes can just see. You might be sitting here with questions just the same way that Samantha was. Gift of God, living water, genius of Jesus. What are all these things that you're talking about? You might not have all of the answers, but I want to tell you something. Jesus isn't shocked by your questions. Jesus isn't taken back by your questions. He isn't worried about what Samantha's questions are. He's not worried about your questions. He still wants to engage you. He still wants to give you the opportunity just the same way that he does with Samantha. This is how Jesus responds. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. See, Jesus begins to understand, hey, look, you're talking about what's right in front of you. You're talking about physical water. What I'm talking about has nothing to do with that. What Jesus is talking about are our desires. He is talking about the desires that we have. He is beginning to say to her, hey, look, I understand what you're talking about, but I want to talk to you about what living water truly is. I want to talk to you about what your desires are. And when he says this water, he's talking about our flesh. He's talking about our earthly beings. What is the water that we take in? Man, I can tell you, I get thirsty again. I can't get enough of it. When we're out on a hot day, you want to have more. There's nothing more satisfying at that moment than a glass of cool water. But you know what? You get thirsty for it again, don't you? you want to be able to have a little bit more of it. But when Jesus says the water that I give you, he's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about your spirit. He's talking about your spirit, which completely satisfies. And all of a sudden you have a spring of water that wells up inside of you. Eternal life that completely satisfies. It says, hey, there's so much more to this world and this life than what you can just see. And begins to talk to her about desires. And we can see how Paul expounds on this idea, Galatians 5, starting right here. Paul says this. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. See, we have these two things that are battling inside of us. The flesh, which is like our sinful nature, what we want and desire here, and our spirit. See, the great thing that happens is that when you say yes to relationship with Jesus, and you say, I want to make you the Lord and Savior of my life, an amazing thing happens is that the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, becomes part of your heart and your life. You give yourself over to him, and he becomes part of your life. And so you have his spirit living and residing inside of you. It's a miraculous moment, but you still have his flesh. And there's a war waging. They're in conflict with each other. Our sinful nature and our flesh wants what's different than what the Holy Spirit wants for our life. You have the flesh and you have the spirit. My question for you is this. What side are you feeding? What side are you feeding? Are you feeding your flesh or are you feeding the spirit? What does that look like? What does it look like, the flesh side of things? What is the flesh? What is the sinful nature? What does that really look like? Well, Paul says it right here. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Somebody say obvious in here. Obvious. Obvious, he means, he's like, I don't even know why I have to tell you this. They're obvious. Like, everybody knows it, right? But he's like, okay, fine. I'll go ahead and I'll just list it for you no matter what. So they're obvious. And here's what it is. This is what the flesh looks like. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. And we look at that list and we're like, whoa, man, that's pretty harsh right there. Like, you know, like I might slip up every once in a while, but I don't, that's not me, right? Like, I'm not right there. Like, sexually immoral. Whoa, man, that's pretty harsh. You're coming off pretty strong there, Paul, you know? How about debauchery? I don't even know what debauchery is, but that's not me, you know? Like, I'm not there, okay? Man, we look at this and we think idolatry, witchcraft, definitely not me. You know, like I haven't been like sacrificing any goats lately or anything like that. So that's not me. But here's what we need to know is that our flesh, it doesn't start off at this list, does it? It doesn't start off that high. It starts off with subtle things, with subtlety, sexual immorality. How does that start? Does it just start with an affair? Does it start with adultery? Boom, just right off the bat? No. Here's how it starts in our flesh. With a thought. With a look in the wrong direction. That's sexual immorality. Jesus says it this way. He says, you know what? If you even think lustfully upon somebody else, you've committed adultery already. We don't just jump into the deep end of the flesh. We start off with these small little things. And then here's what happens, is that when we give a thought and then we engage in that thought and we allow ourselves to kind of go further with that thought, becomes a fantasy. We see something that entices us, and instead of looking away and having a covenant with our eyes, instead we keep our eyes focused on that and we begin to dwell upon it and we think about it. We think about it more and we're feeding the flesh. We're feeding the beast inside of us. And pretty soon, as we give more and more thought to it, the stronger that beast gets. And the more and more that we want what's going on, and the sexual immorality, the thoughts that we've had, the looks that we are giving. All of a sudden, we're on the computer one day, and we have a little clickbait, and we click on that thing, and it leads us down to a path, and pretty soon, we're looking at some pornography. Pretty soon, we're not just even looking at pornography, but we can't get away from pornography. We want to be able to have more and more and more of it, because we're continuing to feed the beast, and it's never enough, and it never goes away, and we're never satisfied, and pretty soon, we find ourselves in a place where we're all of a sudden, the relationships around us, no, they don't matter anymore because we just want to feed this beast of pornography, and masturbation becomes the biggest thing in our life, and we want to be able to do everything that we can to be able to feed that beast because it has completely and utterly consumed us. The more that we feed the beast, the stronger that beast becomes, and pretty soon has completely consumed our life. See, the flesh doesn't start off all of a sudden at the deep end. Man, it's a little tiny thing. But the more that we feed that beast, the stronger that beast becomes. And instead of it being fun, because that's really what it is, really. Like, sin is fun, isn't it? If you're not having fun when you're sinning, you're probably doing it wrong, okay? Like, come and talk to me. I'll tell you how to do it right, because I did that for a long time. But it's only fun for a little while, isn't it? It's only fun for a little bit. In fact, Hebrews says it this way. He, Moses, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sin is fun for a little while. And then all of a sudden you're going to have a moment and you're going to realize this is not fun anymore. These are hurts, habits, and hang-ups that I have. These are destructive relationships with destructive habits. I'm not having fun anymore. I want to be able to let go of this. But you can't. Because you have fed the beast for so long that it has consumed your life. You want to be able to stop, but you're a slave to it. Because you have continued to feed the beast for far too long. That's what the flesh looks like. Because it never satisfies. The water that we have right in front of us as the flesh, never satisfies and will leave you thirsty again. Exactly what Jesus says right here. Everyone who drinks this water, everyone who indulges in the flesh, you're never going to be satisfied. You're going to be thirsty again. But the good news is that Jesus has a better way for you. Jesus has a better life for you. And he says it this way. But whoever drinks the water I give, whoever indulges in the Spirit, whoever drinks of the water I give will never thirst. You will be completely satisfied. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water inside of you. Inside of your soul is water that's going to spring out. An eternal life is going to be for you. There is satisfaction. There is joy. There is a purpose that you can have when you accept Jesus and you live by the Spirit and you feed the Spirit instead of feeding your flesh. That's so powerful. Don't feed the flesh. Feed your spirit. Don't feed the beast. Feed your spirit. And what does it look like to live by the Spirit? Because we saw what the flesh was. We saw all those acts of the flesh, of the beast invading and controlling our life. But what does the life of a spirit look like? Paul continues on. He says this. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, or what your life is going to look like, what it produces, which is what fruit is, a produce, what your life is going to produce is this: love, joy, peace. Man, those are powerful words right there. Forbearance. I don't even know what that is, right? But it's what my life is full of, right? Like, that's what, why do they use forbearance right there? I don't know. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, sometimes we look at that list, like, man, I lose all control when I start to indulge in the flesh. I lose all control. I can't stop myself when I start to indulge in the flesh. How come I can't stop? Because you're not feeding your spirit. You don't have self-control because you're not feeding
your spirit. It's so important for us. See, what happens when we feed the spirit or when we feed the flesh is that all of a sudden, it's fun for a season, but we're trying to get a little bit because, you know, that little that we did it the first time, it was okay and it was fun, but that doesn't do it anymore. We need to go further and further and further. You know, in the words of the poet Axl Rose, he said, a little used to do it, but a little won't do it anymore. And a little got more and more and more, right? Some of you are like, who's Axl Rose, man? Well, listen to some Guns N' Roses every once in a while, right? Like, it's fantastic. 80s metal, it's fantastic. I love it. But I'm telling you, you feed the beast, it's going to completely control your life. You feed your spirit, you're going to have self-control. Don't feed the beast. Now, here's a spiritual truth or a physical truth that has huge implications. It's spiritual truth. What you feed will become stronger, but what you starve will die. What you feed will become stronger, but what you starve will die. We see that happen in society. We see that happen in nature. What you don't feed is going to die away. But what you feed is going to become stronger. It's going to be able to want more. It's going to have more control over you. Jesus says it this way, when you walk by his spirit, he says it this way, those who belong to Christ Jesus, when you say yes to him and you walk by the spirit, those who have belonged to Christ Jesus have crucified or have died to the flesh. You have crucified the flesh's passions, the beast desire inside of you. And you say, I no longer want to feed the flesh. I want to be able to feed my spirit. I want to be able to feed my spirit. I want to be able to walk in your path. And this is what he says in verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if you've asked Jesus into your life, then you need to be able to feed your spirit so that you can walk by the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Like, we know how to feed the beast. We know how that's easy for us. That just comes second nature, right? Like, it's boom. We know how to do that. How do you feed your spirit then to walk in step with the Spirit? Number one is this. I can't stress this one enough. But read your Bible. Read your Bible. It is God's word that will change your life. Read your Bible. Psalms 119:11 says this. It says, I have hidden your word. Where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. I want to be able to live the right way. I've hidden your word in my heart, not just in my mind, not that I've just memorized it. It's become part of who I am. I've hidden your word in my heart. Read your Bible. And you think, well, I don't know how to do that. Like, the Bible is like, it's hard. And last time I opened it up into like Numbers, and it was just like all this different stuff. I don't even know what that is, right? Like, it's hard sometimes. There's so many ways, though, that you can do this now. You can download the YouVersion Bible app. I'm telling you, it is fantastic. It's free, and there are so many reading plans for you. You can pick anything that you want to just read through the Bible and have it invade your soul and change who you are. One of the acronyms that I use that I just absolutely love, I believe this, 15 minutes a day in Scripture is going to change your life. And one of the acronyms that I use is a little thing called SOAP. SOAP. Something that we use every single day. At least I hope some of you do, right? Like soap. You use soap every single day on your body, on your dishes, all over the place. We have soap everywhere. SOAP. What does that acronym stand for? S, Scripture. Scripture. Read. Read the Word, right? But then don't just read the Word, because you can read the Word and then just go on your merry way. Like, you're just reading words. It has no effect on you, but you've got to be able to ask a question. Oh, observation. So you ask yourself, what do I observe from this? What do I see in this scripture right here? And then you have to be able to ask this one. A, application. Okay, I see this in this scripture. How do I apply this to my life? How is this supposed to change my life? And then the last one, P, prayer. You pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what I'm reading right here, how I want to apply that to my life, please allow it to happen and change me in a powerful way. SOAP, Scripture, observation, application, prayer. And then here's the great thing about it, is that if you think about that acronym, you think about something that you use every single day, SOAP, when you go and you're pushing down on a little handle, when your hands get all messy and you're washing your hands, you can think to yourself, did I read the Bible today? I'm using soap here, but did I use soap in my soul? I need to use soap every day, and you absolutely need Scripture in your life every single day. How do you feed your spirit? Number one, read the Bible. Read it. Number two, prayer. Pray to God. Pray. How do I do that? You're simply communicating to Him. Just talk to Him. Just open up your mouth and have a conversation. You're like, well, I don't know the right words to be able to say. You don't have to have the right words. And God knows your heart more than you do. Just begin to talk to Him. Take time and just talk to Him. You're driving in your car. Take time to talk to Him. You're all by yourself. You're with other people. Whatever it is, just take time to talk to God. You want to feed your spirit? Pray. Third one is this. Worship. Worship Him. Worship Him for who He is and what He has done in your life. Worship Him. You want to think to yourself, why am I so full of negative thoughts all the time? My question for you is, when was the last time you truly worshiped Him? Like, you could come together into a setting like this, come into church, make sure you get here on time when we got songs going on, and worship is in full force. Man, I tell you what, man, it electrifies my soul. You wonder why I get excited when I come up here? Man, I just got done worshiping Jesus. I got done singing songs to Him about how much I love Him. Man, it gets me amped up. I'm ready to go. But not just in this setting. Every single moment. When I have a chance, as I'm driving around and I see an amazing sunrise. Man, we live in Phoenix, Arizona. We got some amazing sunrises out here, don't we? And when I see that, I don't just think, oh, that's pretty. Man, I get to worship. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for those beautiful colors that I just saw right there. Thank you for my eyes to be able to see that. Thank you for allowing me to live in this place instead of a cold place like Montana or something like that, you know? Like, I'm so glad that I live here. And I'm praising and I'm worshiping Him about those things. When I'm going through my day and my kids do something amazing, you know, like they just bring joy to my life. I'm like, man, thank you, God, so much for an opportunity for them to bring me joy. And in the moments when they don't bring me joy, I'm worshiping God. And I'm like, God, thank you so much for the opportunity for me to be the parent of these two boys. For the opportunity for me to pour life into them. God, I worship you, and I thank you so much for every single moment that you have given me. And all of a sudden, man, your life is changed, and you're worshiping God, and you're thanking Him, and your life will be full of thanksgiving. You want to feed your spirit? Read your Bible. Pray. Worship. Be generous. Be generous. Man, we talk about this in our church all the time. Why? Why do we talk about being generous? Because I truly believe that if you begin to be generous, you are going to learn to trust God more than anything else that you do. You're going to learn to trust Him with your life in ways that you never have before. He has called us to be generous and willing to share. You want to live a life after God, to be a Christian and to be a Christ follower? Then you need to be able to follow His example. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved..." Then what did He do? He gave. He gave. He was generous with what? The most important thing that He had. His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He was generous. He is calling us to be generous and to live a life of generosity. You want to feed your spirit? Be a generous person. It's going to teach you to trust God like nothing else. Feed your spirit. Read your Bible. Pray. Worship. Be generous. Serve. Serve. Begin to understand that this world is not just about you. I love this scientific fact. The universe doesn't revolve around you. Right? Like, go figure. But sometimes we think it does. I'm going to tell you what. Begin to serve. Begin to follow Christ's example. He says this. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. But to serve. Be humble. Be willing to be generous and serve those around you. It will feed your spirit. It'll feed your spirit. Here's my question for you today. My question for you today is, what are you feeding? Are you feeding the beast, or are you feeding your spirit? What is it that you're struggling with? Do you continue to indulge the beast, or are you feeding your spirit and becoming alive in him? The old is gone and the new has come, and you are feeding your spirit constantly, because what you feed is going to become stronger. You're wondering why your faith is crumbling. You're wondering why you're living in doubt. My question to you is, what are you feeding? Are you feeding your spirit, or are you feeding the beast? I gotta tell you, I believe the time for you to stop messing around is right now. The time for you to stop messing around is right now. Stop messing around with feeding the beast. Stop messing around with feeding the flesh that you have and all of the indulges that you want to be able to give into, and you're struggling with them, and you're like, you're wondering, why can't I get away from this? Because you're continuing to feed it over and over again. I got to tell you, I think the time to stop messing around is right now. And instead of feeding the beast, instead you're feeding your spirit, and you're becoming a spiritual beast. You're becoming a spiritual beast, a spiritual giant. When somebody is going through a situation and somebody's struggling with something, they're going to think to themselves, you know what? I'm calling Jake because I know he's a spiritual beast. He's going to be able to go to battle for me. He's going to be able to be somebody who's going to come through for me. Man, I want to be able to go to somebody who I know has my back. I'm going to Victoria because I know that she's a spiritual beast. She's going to be able to feed into my soul because I know she feeds her spirit. And I look at her life and she's completely satisfied. She has a purpose. There's love and joy and peace in her life. I want to be able to go to somebody like that. The time to stop messing around is now. Jesus is engaging you today the way that he engaged Samantha. He's giving you an opportunity the way that he gave an opportunity to Samantha. He says, stop messing around. I know that your life is hard. I know that you haven't had satisfaction for so long, that you're struggling with all of these things. He says, stop feeding the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Have satisfaction. Find purpose. Find love and joy. Peace. Don't feed the beast any longer. Become a spiritual beast. My question for you today, what are you feeding? And my hope and my prayer is that you will respond. And you will respond the way that Samantha responded. And the woman said to him, Sir, Jesus, give me this water. Give me this water that you're talking about. I don't want to thirst anymore. Give me this water that you're talking about. I don't want to have to come back to this place anymore. This place. I don't know where your life is at this place. I don't know where you're at this point in your life. But Jesus will help you to not have to come back to this place. When you ask him into your life and into your heart, Spirit comes in. You don't have to come back to this place. The old is gone and the new has come. My question for you today is, what are you feeding? And my hope and my prayer is that you will respond the same way that this woman does. Jesus, I want you. I want your living water. I want satisfaction. I want purpose. I want love and joy and peace in my life, in my relationships, in everything that I'm doing. I want you in my life. My question for you today is, what are you feeding? I want to ask you to be able to stand up today. we're going to close singing a song of worship to God about how holy, how worthy, how awe-inspiring He is. And as we're singing this song, to have an opportunity for you to respond, to think about what you are feeding. You have an opportunity today, but my hope is that you will also ponder this. This won't be a question that just leaves you as you leave this building. It'll be a question that sticks with you. As you're living your life, you're going to ask yourself, what am I feeding? Am I feeding the beast? Am I becoming a spiritual beast? The question that you have is, what are you feeding? God, I adore you with everything I have. All of the good, all of the bad, all of the beautiful and ugly inside of me, God, I hand it over to you. God, I pray that you will forgive me of the moments that I feed the flesh, that I feed my flesh and the beast inside of me. God, please forgive me of those moments. Give me strength and courage to walk in step with the Spirit, to feed your Spirit, Lord God, or so that I can become the spiritual beast that you have asked me to be. I pray that for myself. I pray that for every single person here today, Lord God, or that we can turn our lives completely over to you so that you can become our Lord and our Savior. We love you and we praise you in your mighty name. And everybody together said, amen. Come on, church, let him know how good he is. Worship him today. Feed your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.